This is Comedy Potpourri. I'm Paulie.
And I'm just Al.
And today we are talking about Nikola Tesla.
Now, Tesla, if you have heard the name, you probably have because it's often used on cars these days, or you may have heard of a Tesla coil. But there's a man behind that name, and his name is Nikola.
And he came from, it was Croatia, but it was...
Correct.
So he's came from there, and he worked his way up. I mean, he was an apprentice and worked his way up, and then he got to, can't remember, what's country, he went to another country, didn't he? Besides the United States, before he came over?
I forget exactly where, but he initially studied in, was it Czechoslovakia, I believe?
Yes, Czechoslovakia. And then his father, Miltutin Tesla, was a suburban, he was a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother, believe, was an actress or something like that?
She was a performer of some kind.
Right. And then he's from five children. His electrical inventions were spurred on by mother Yuka Mendik, who invented small household appliances. Oh, she invented small appliances in her time.
Okay.
So that's where he got most of his stuff from. That's pretty interesting. And then he had quite a bit of education. He studied at the Rochelle Karlstadt, later mm-hmm. named by Rochelle in Germany, Polytechnic Institute in Graz, Austria, and the University of Prague.
Yep.
So he's a well-educated man.
Yes. He excelled in mathematics, from what I understand, at a very young age. And he was a very young man before he came to the United States.
Yes.
So...
he's a prodigy then.
Oh yeah, most definitely. People were lauding his abilities for understanding complex mathematics and so on like that. And I think at the time he was starting to mess around with his own electrical stuff there in Prague, but he wanted to study more along with his hero, Thomas Edison, which ended up being something more of a rivalry than anything else.
So, yeah. So, after the university, he moved to Budapest, Hungary, for a time, and he worked at the Central Telephone Exchange. And while he was there, so he had gaining interest in his inventions. Idea for induction motor came first. And at age 28, Tesla decided to leave Europe for America. And that's when he decided and got a job at...
General Electric?
At Edison.
Oh, Edison Electric.
Edison Electric, yeah. And that was DC-based electrical works. And that was the standard here. So the other stuff will come later.
So let's put it in context. So direct current is a one-way current that can be carried only so far before it actually drops off. Now, if you know anything about electricity will drop off over a period of amount of square footage or something along those lines. So as I was studying electricity and stuff like that, trying to get my electrical license, limited building electrical license, you find that electricity, like water, has a certain amount of pressure, and that pressure will drop off over a certain amount of feet. Well, in the process of direct electrical, Edison was only able to transmit electricity only so far before you'd have to have it built up by something else. When Tesla came, he had the idea of doing alternating current so it could oscillate, and so you could carry it much further.
Right.
And I think that was where the biggest amount of contention initially started from. I don't know exactly how that first meeting went, but I'm sure Edison thought, this guy's really bright. He knows his stuff, but my ego says, hey, kid.
Well, what happened is that when he worked for Edison, that he invented a lot of stuff. And because he worked for Edison, all those patents are underneath Thomas Edison's stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So most of what you see, 700, I think there's 700 and something patents he has. A lot of those, there's more than that because they're Edison took them. They were just underneath Edison. And so basically, he was being used.
Oh, yeah.
He was 28, naive, wanted to work on his own stuff, but and Edison just said, yeah, no, we can kind of put the, you know, the carrot out there in front of him. We, you do this, do this, and, you know.
Yeah, I got a carrot here for you. yeah,
and
that's...
Then, go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to say, in some cases, during his entirety of his lifetime, Tesla was great at inventions, but he wasn't so great at his finances and stuff like that. It was terrible.
He was... how would we say that, you know, a lot of we call scientists today, how they're out of touch for communications, their vulnerability and stuff. That explains Tesla to a T.
Oh, yeah.
He was just not, when it came to people, he didn't know what's going on. You know, he
wasn't wired the same way like the rest of us.
Here's what here for today. For a lot of IT firms, they have to have a manager to project manager. That project manager has to be able to talk to the people who are writing code or doing what they have to do, to the applicators, which is totally different. So your marketing firm, which is going to go out and say, hey, we can do this, cannot speak the same language as these programmers.
Oh, yeah.
So the person in the middle is basically the one doing it. So Tesla would have been on the far right saying, oh, yeah, let's, you know, talk about oscillating. And I have an oscillating motor. I have an AC oscillating motor. I have, God, there's so many things he had going about sending electricity through the air, which would people would be going, what?
Yeah, sending electricity, that's called lightning, ain't it? I mean, that's the way I would say it, you know, it's like, so you want to shoot electricity through the air. What's it hit? You know, what's its intended target? Am I going to get hit? Is my tree going to catch on fire? You know, or is it going to shoot down my chimney, set my wood on fire? I mean, that'd be cool.
Well, you know, then, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but then the military wanted to step in and, see what he had. Which we'll get later about where his stuff is at.
Oh, yeah, that's a different kind of thing altogether.
I can just tell you that most of his stuff is held by the government. So after that, in 1885, which is how far we're going back. We're going over almost 100 years ago. Well, over 100 years ago.
Over 100 years ago.
150 years? Almost 150 years.
Close.
Yeah. That he had these inventions. I mean, this is far advanced, more than anything could happen, right? I wonder if they made some of the sci-fi movies off his ideas.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case.
If you really think about it.
Well, I mean, I think there was one application he was doing, which was I think after he had separated himself from Edison, I think there was an application where he was showing about remote control.
Yes.
On some small little ships.
Yeah, he's the first one for our today, for all our remote control cars, boats, even our drones, because they're remote controlled. So he is the father of drones.
So that makes him a queen bee.
Well, not the father.
Go out there and pollinate for me, my young children. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, think of that. 150 years ago. And probably what? Not even 50 years ago. We had remote control cars.
Yeah. Yeah, it was still in its infancy if you think about it.
Right.
If you go back over 100 years ago, I mean, look at how much the world has changed within the last 100 and some odd years, maybe just a little over a century.
Yeah, I mean, it's
since the 1920s, and probably just before the onset of the Great Depression.
Well, we'll count the 1920s gone because Mm. As the years of flappers and everybody was partying. And
that produced a lot of energy, man.
It sure did.
It did. It there's a lot of...
You ever watch Babylon?
There's a lot of friction going on there.
Yes, there's a lot of friction. Static cling.
Anyway, so the 1920s, just before the Great Depression, how many different inventions, how many things changed the world in that last century before the rollover to 2000? I mean, seriously. No.
So I want to get back to this 1980. This is really the solo venture. Tesla received funding for the Tesla Electric Light Company and was tasked by his investors to develop improved arc lighting. And after successfully doing so, he was forced out of the venture.
By whom?
By the investors. Then his luck changed because it changed 2 years later when he received funding for his new Tesla electric company. So he had two companies. He started electric and then he started again because he was forced out. Again, Tesla
is not a businessman.
Businessman at all.
I believe that there was a World's Fair where he was running something in Chicago, I believe.
Yes.
And he was running the entire thing off of AC.
Right.
And it blew everybody away, and that's when I believe George Westinghouse actually approached him to start working on any Westinghouse products and projects.
Right. Well, that's when we'll get up to the coil thing where you end up having the, how tall was that thing? It was pretty tall. It was he put one of those coils outside.
Yeah, it was like 75 feet up or
right,
something
in Colorado.
In Colorado.
In Colorado. And so he was at the point of almost finishing and Westinghouse
pulled the plug
because of somebody named Edison convinced Westinghouse
some guy
that his was better than what me. In fact, what was happening is that Tesla said it would be free electricity.
See, that's the problem with a lot of multimillionaires. They don't want to give anything away for free. And that's where Tesla was way beyond a lot of these guys. But everybody wants to control what they can parse out to other people. If you're going to buy power, you want to buy it from us. So here you go. We will give you X amount of wattage for X amount of money. And then we'll reap the rewards of that. But you could give it to you for free.
Just think of that, girls. You wouldn't have to buy your triple A batteries anymore. Or your D or C's. It could be direct. It would be
correct current, baby.
Ba-bam.
Careful.
And then us guys, I mean, all those toys that we have, think of that. You wouldn't have... All those batteries would be gone.
Oh, yeah. No more copper tops.
Well, he was trying to prove, and there's controversy on the story, that he actually had a car that had no batteries and could run, and it went 80 miles an hour, and it was an old... Stutz, was it a Stutz or something? It was a old car that he had, and it's like, well, you can afford that. Well, if he was getting funding, he could, right?
Yeah.
So they said that he put the electric motor in there, and it was no batteries, no gas, and he drove it 80 miles an hour.
Why am I not surprised by
this? This is at the same time when he said that his coil, if set up right, as a weapon could kill easily 225,000 people in one shot.
Bzap.
Yeah. So that's your death ray.
Yep.
That's where the death ray comes from.
But one of the, I think some of the patents are pretty interesting. If you take a look at the listing here. So you have alternating current electromagnetic motor done in 1890 for a patent. There's alternating current motor. Also 1890.
Well, he you know, in Niagara Falls, he actually made the power from Niagara Falls.
Yeah, he harnessed that, and Westinghouse actually really reaped the rewards of that one.
Which is now most of what we get out of our falls.
For a hydroelectric.
Yeah, yeah. That's so every time you turn that light on and you have that hydroelectric power, think Tesla.
Most of the stuff that you're going to find in your regular home, everything that powers up your computer, even the stuff that we're talking on right now.
Yeah.
Was because of Tesla.
Yeah.
So think about it. Yeah, like when Paul says, it's like, when you flip that switch, yeah, that's a little bit of Tesla right there for you.
Yeah.
You're flipping Tesla switch. Nice. I like that. Dynamo. Dynamo electric motor or machine, 1888. Electric arc lamp. 1886.
Okay, here's one for you. He's also the father of X-rays.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of interesting things.
Yeah. So Tesla uses coil to study fluorescence, X-rays, radio, wireless power, electromagnetism in the Earth and its atmosphere. So basically, which we will get later about a certain, we'll just mention the name, HARP.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later, but basically that's what HARP does. So again, this is really strange how we're getting a lot of this stuff that's popping up.
From a guy that has been gone for probably about 70, 80 years now.
Right.
And suddenly a lot of his findings, a lot of his inventions are finding their way into other avenues that were started by the military. How's that? Anyway.
So in 1900.
Okay.
1901, he designed and built a lab with power plant and massive transmission tower on the site on Long Island, New York, that became known as the Wardenclyffe. And he has his rivals. This is great. If you have rivals like this, you know you're doing something. Marconi, Carnegie, Edison. I mean, if you have those people, that's...
Now, the reason why he had to move out to Wardenclyffe to begin with anyway with this whole situation was because all of his experimentation down in downtown New York City was causing all kinds of problems, and people were afraid that he was going to catch something on fire.
Right.
Or somebody was going to get fried.
Well, that one is a questionable one to the fire.
Oh, yeah, the fire. The fire, quote, unquote, fire.
But we'll get to, that's one in Colorado, and it's like.
Well, that's just one.
A lot of his papers were burned.
There were also a bunch of the stuff in his New York, one of his New York setups had a fire. Had a fire. Now, okay, granted, maybe security wasn't all that great back in the day.
There was none.
Because they planted things on rats and let the rats run wild. They probably strapped a bunch of like little matches on the back of the rats, and then as the rats were running through the pipes, it set it on fire.
Oh, no, they fed them gunpowder and everything, lit their tails on fire.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because rats can set things on fire.
That's right.
As we've already talked about the great fires in London, remember? Probably eating all that gas and stuff like that. And set them off.
Like their tie. Yeah, all they got to do is fart once.
They just put a little spark on the end of the guy's tail. Oh, man, there goes Tesla's lab.
Sorry. That was
sorry, it was a strange tangent, but you know, that's what happens when you get rats that set things on fire.
So when I mentioned Marconi, I mean, we're just kind of going all over the place because it's so much. So Tesla, when he was doing his radio, and he was about ready to set his patent.
Mm-hmm.
He was and some stuff happened because he didn't have enough money or something like that, right? And Marconi was doing the same thing, which I yeah. So Tesla could go up to 50 miles with his radio broadcast. Marconi could only go 20.
However, the fact was is that Marconi was able to actually get his patent in first.
Right.
Before Tesla was able to get his patent processed Now, you got to remember, back in the day, patents were huge, huge situation because there was involved in each one of those patents. Because if anybody started manufacturing anything based off of your patent, you get a percentage of whatever that sale was.
Jeez. Marconi's support was, let me guess, Edison.
Mm-hmm.
And Carnegie.
Oh, surprise.
Surprise. So, Post, not too long ago, they looked at the patent people and the people who looked at Marconi's stuff and at Tesla's decided they went back and awarded Tesla the patents. So people think that Marconi was the one who developed
the radio.
No, it was Tesla. So history books will not change that.
Nope.
Nope. Costs too much.
Yep.
They can just go ahead and just, you know, black it out and write the name in.
It's been redacted.
Everything's redacted.
Everything's redactable. My life's redactable. I'm sure it is.
Here comes that big black marker. Oh no!
It smells like Sharpie.
Oh, the fumes, I'm telling you. The death ray.
Oh my God, yeah.
He suffered nervous breakdowns. I don't know if we need to talk about that. Because of everything that was going on, he had declared bankruptcy twice just because, again, of his management style.
Mm-hmm.
And he trusted people. Why would people do this? I'm an inventor. I can, you know, and he thought,
I can improve your life.
I can improve your life. And that's what he was trying to do. And so what happened is, like, of course, these other people are like, no, you know, I need to make money. And it was pretty ruthless. During that time, in the early 1900s, it was pretty ruthless for everything. I mean, you look at your railroads going, you got all this other stuff going, you know.
Think Daniel Day-Lewis, drink your milkshake.
Yes.
That's a kind of ruthlessness that you're seeing in a lot of multimillionaires back in the day. J.P. Morgan, Westinghouse, Hearst. I mean, you think about these guys. They had their fingers in so many different things. And yet, you know, they are profiteering off of these inventors constantly. Now, you know, somebody like Edison, he's a little bit more savvy about doing it. That's the reason why he partnered up with him. But he was also really good at getting his patents out there. And as we've already mentioned before, when he had Tesla working for him, guess who, even though Tesla came up with it, Edison, because he was under the employment of Edison, that became Edison's work.
And then he had a nervous breakdown because of that, because he was forced to go bankrupt like two or three times. And so, you know, he has no money. So he ended up being a consultant for a lot of companies to help them improve what they have to be, right? And then he did come a little eccentric. I don't think he was a little, but I don't think it was as much as his ideas that he was actually writing down. There's some things like the 369 theory. People didn't understand that. It's really hard to understand.
I was reading something earlier today that was talking about Tesla, that the fact that he was only sleeping maybe 2 to 3 hours a day, tops. Because his big brain would just kept kicking in these different ideas for inventions and stuff. And he wrote down a bunch of stuff that has been since confiscated. But again, he didn't have any kind of a relationship with anybody. He was a confirmed celibate. So he wasn't messing around with anybody else. His idea was strictly on producing materials for the betterment of mankind. And he was experimenting with all kinds of ideas of free energy and helping out other people in the process.
Right.
And unfortunately, because of that naivety, he got taken advantage of. And I think that is part of the reason why he decided to kind of go a little nutso in the process.
Well, when he started talking about the death rate, and this is like close to World War II.
Yeah.
And the FBI wanted to start talking to him. And then, and the FBI talked to him, the Soviet Union.
Oh yeah,
there's had interest in what he was doing.
His death ray. Now, okay, so the idea behind the death ray. Let's talk about that just a little.
I'm glad he didn't become a Steven Seagal.
Oh my god. So the ponytail throws it for me every time. So during his inventions and stuff like that, he was making a pitch to the United States, but he was also looking at other world governments. Mm-hmm. And the one that happened to pop up the most was the Soviet Union. And they were willing to look and fund his death ray situation, because if you had that, it'd be like a doomsday device.
Right.
The moment that somebody made a move towards you, you'd completely wipe them out. And, you know, and this is just before the Manhattan Project even got off the ground. So you can imagine the interest. If you had a foreign power and you're living in the United States at that time, and you've been in the United States for easily 25, 30 years, and then suddenly you've got foreign powers that are interested in your inventions, and you've already have a proven track record that you can produce what you set your mind out to do. If you're able to set up alternating current, which by that time was starting to be proliferate through the United States and worldwide, you know, based off of the hydroelectric power, holy crap. What else can this guy come up with? When you say death ray, I'm going to pay attention, because you could shoot. And how many people did he say he could wipe out?
225,000.
In one shot.
Okay, that in Portland, Oregon, that would be a quarter of the population.
Out. Gone. Toasty.
Zapped.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be looking at like some sort of crispy critter out there. Look like a bad tree that got caught on fire during one of the wildfires.
Don't worry. This is Portland, and we'll just put a bird on it.
Oh, my God. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. No, put a flower and a bird on that thing. Yeah. Oh, it looks good now.
Yeah,
they're kind of falling apart there, but that's okay.
Okay. It's kind of funny that we're talking about this, because I can see this charcoal sitting on Paul's desk right now. I said, "Is that a person?" It's a ladyfinger. Anyway,
it's not food. No, they make charcoal out of people.
Charcoal is people. They make pretty pictures.
Unfortunately, we need to talk about the we're going to go on. We're not finished. We have a lot to talk about, but we want to talk about his death too. And he did not know about his finances. Again, he did not know about managing finances or anything. He was smart, super smart. Almost, you want to call him, what would be a good word, where he just about to look, everything else, he didn't have no smarts about. Just,
I would think that probably the closest word that I would use to describe somebody like this, or most scientists, is that they're highly functioning autistic individuals.
Right. Okay, perfect. That's what I was thinking of saying.
Because I think you are so channeling one specific part of your brain that everything else just kind of falls by the wayside, including his health, because he wasn't taking good care of himself.
No, he was not.
I mean, if you take a look at pictures of him in late life, he was not a healthy looking guy. I'm sure he was ravaged, because I think he also was a smoker.
Yeah, he was a smoker. And he died. What happened is, because he's not having money, he'd go in these downtown in New York and a lot of these places where he would go, and he had all his records that he had, right, with him. And, I mean, so let's talk about New York, maybe a one-bedroom or whatever, where one room just be full of everything he has, all his papers and stuff, right? So he didn't have enough money, so they'd kick him out. He'd go to another place, be there for a while, no money, kick him out. So, like, the third or fourth place, he died of a coronary thrombosis on January 7th, 1943. He was 86 years old.
Now, he was destitute at the time, but I believe the housing project that he was living in was actually being funded by Westinghouse, I believe.
Oh.
So isn't that kind of funny that you just keep that carrot that we were just talking? You keep him on a hook, and we'll pay for your place, but you have no money really to invest in anything whatsoever. Because if you did, you'd be a threat to us.
Right, right. So there are so many things that on the internets that you can look up, like HARP was a good, really good one. Look at the 369 theorem.
The connection, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's you know. And then it's kind of wild, but Tesla also thought he could talk to the Martians.
Oh, yeah. He was receiving signals from space.
Right. Right. And if you know that, if you look into the, it's really complicated, but the 369 is basically putting your mind to work with electrical pulses and how you are that day. By more being more active, you electric pulses actually are higher than you relax, which is normal because if you're looking at you, but he's talking about extrasensory
perception.
Thank you.
Or ESP.
Or ESP also extensional,
mm-hmm.
Right? Where you can like out in the ether. He's talking about the ether.
It's actually in this particular book
I
just picked up of recent times, which is talking about the problem of increasing human energy. And it talks about how to harness the sun. It doesn't go so much into his devices as it goes into his thinking on how energy can be manipulated.
Right.
And there's a bunch of it in here.
Well, even, I mean, how should I say? It's like, what he's talking about and how he's doing his electrical is that one pulse goes one way and the other, and it creates a friction, which creates electrical charges. And he's talking about that way in your brain. And then he's also talking about if you really take that, you can put to some of his theories. And that's what he was, it's very interesting. I have to read it again. I'm going to have to read it three times just to understand it.
He had an interesting look on the way that atoms, the basic building blocks of matter.
Right.
And he was looking at the way that electrons reacted. And he didn't subscribe to the way that most physicists look at electrons as being that a component that holds things together. He found that that didn't track with the way he was looking at things. And he also felt that a lot of things, both at rest or active, always were producing energy of some kind. And that energy could be manipulated in a new way. So I thought that this book that I happen to pick up is just a very short treatise on what he's looking at. I'm still getting into it right now.
So at Wardenclyffe, there actually people have bought this, bought the area in 2009.
Oh, really?
And they are going to make it the Tesla Science Center. So they're working on it. There hasn't been enough contributions, and so they're having some problems with it. But it is registered as a historical place.
Yes.
So they can't do anything with it. They can't tear it. You know, people go develop it or anything like that. Restoration is like $20 million so far has been put into it, which is not enough. I mean,
not really. Not by today's standards. Yeah. Oh, so there should be a little, we're going to dive into a little conspiracy here because that's always a lot of fun. But there is a theory out there. You may have heard of a little situation that took place in Russia back in the 1900s.
Oh, yes.
Tunguska?
Yes.
So there's a theory that it wasn't a comet like what had happened of recent times where there was a comet that came over Chelyabinsk. That exploded and blew up in the atmosphere. You know, I think that was like about 3 years ago or something like that. You remember seeing the videos of that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Huge.
Okay. But there's a theory that back in the 1900s, Tunguska was the receiver of something from Wardenclyffe when it was being activated in New York City. And it arced across and bent off of the ionosphere.
Oh, that sounds like HARP, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it, though? That's the reason why I wanted to bring that up.
Yes.
Because it's just like, wow, that completely flattened everything.
Yeah, they thought it was a comet.
Now, they have yet to go... Seriously, 21st century, how many people have actually gone into Tunguska to actually investigate that? Not anybody. Or at least the Russians aren't talking about it.
No, they're not going to talk
about
it. Or
the FSB, formerly KGB, aren't talking about it. Is it aliens? Did they crash land?
KGB, which they go to the CGB.
FSB.
If you know what the CGB is.
I don't.
Oh, it's old dance club. Oh, my God.
You just sauce them up with some vodka and you're good to go. But anyway, so the idea that Tunguska may have been caused by Nikola Tesla.
Right, yeah. So here's something I really, this is why he didn't know about people, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is why my I thought Edison, oh wow, Edison, as we're growing up, we're taught Edison, right? Well, when he was hired as an engineer in Thomas Edison's headquarters, he worked for a year, and Edison was impressed with everything he's doing. And then at one point, Edison told him that he would pay him $50,000 for an improved design for his DC dynamos. And then after months of experimentations, Tesla presented a solution and asked for the money. Edison said, "Tesla, you don't understand our American humor." Basically,
he told him, "No,
F you."
Yeah,
F you. You just made me a lot of money, but F you. I don't care. And that's when Tesla quit. So yeah, and then he ended up being after that. After he tried his Tesla electric company, it didn't start. He ended up digging ditches for $2 a day, and then he found supporters, and then he started. He was granted more than 30 patents for his inventions and decided to address the American Institute of Electrical Engineers on his work. At that one is when George Westinghouse, the inventor who had launched the AC power system near Boston, was Edison's major competitor in the Battle of the Currents.
Oh, yeah, the Battle of the Currents. Yep. But it wasn't until one of the world's fairs that Battle of the Currents actually was won, and a certain Mr. Edison was, as I heard, humbled and probably deepened his hatred for Tesla.
Yeah, so his invented electric oscillators, which we use today,
mm-hmm.
meters, which we use today, improved lights, and the high voltage transformer known as the Tesla core. But he actually made high better more than that.
Flow meters, fountains, fluid propulsion, frequency meter, incandescent electric light. Let's see here. Taking a look at his patents here. Reciprocating engine. Pyromagneto-electric generator, speed indicator. Who's worked on the steam engine?
Yeah.
System for electrical lighting. System for electrical distribution. System of electrical power transmission. System for signaling. I mean, thermomagnetic motor, a turbine. I could go through this whole list, and it's just like, and they're literally year after year after year of patents that were issued out between 1888 to at least the latest one on here is like 1920.
Yeah, 1890 or 88. Yeah, 1880. Wow. That's just so many electric magnetic motors he made. There's just an electric transmission of power, which means it's...
If you've ever seen one of the diagrams for one of his electric motors and the way it oscillates when you put that iron core into a bunch of copper windings, and you get that magnetic field built up and shoot a little bit of electricity through that thing, man, it's just wild.
Which is interesting. If you he knew what he had to do. So, or knew the system well enough. If you've ever seen the picture of him sitting and he has a cup of tea reading a book as the coils going off arcing, right? Now today, when they do that, everybody has to have a suit on, an anti-electrical suit, everything else, because basically it'd be fried from the inside out. But this is a good one. If you ever watch on the coil, they have a fluorescent light. Not plugged into anything. They're 20 feet away. When that coil goes on, the light goes on.
Yep. Because it's excited the electrical particles between that and the bulb.
Right. And that's what he was talking about, how to do free electricity. He was talking about being able to do this, set some of those through the towns, and you'd have electricity. Free.
Again, here we go with that free thing.
Well, he'd have to run up the electricity to that. So there'd be some cost, to start the motors, to do everything else. But, I mean, if you know about generators and capacitors and I wonder if, Doc's capacitor was from Tesla.
The flux capacitor?
The flux capacitor. Yeah, it had to be a Tesla
thing. Well,
I'm sure
it had to be built on something like that. He's talking about pulling free energy from the Earth's magnetosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could find the same frequency.
And, there we go. That's the 369.
The frequency for that kind of stuff. You'd be able to pull up so much electrical energy that you could run everything in your house, your house.
Yeah.
Let alone hundreds of blocks just off of the electrical energy that the Earth produces naturally. Now, there is some other things that while he was in New York, in downtown New York, he had also found out that if you found sympathetic frequencies, you might cause some earthquakes to take place. Another one of the reasons why he had to move out in New York, because all this experimentation stuff was causing some havoc in downtown New York.
Which, if we go back to HAARP,
yep,
is they're accused of making earthquakes because they're shooting really high voltage
into the Earth itself.
Yes.
And I think that what you were telling me about a little earlier about them looking for natural gas or oil or
right. Oh, so what they're doing is a lot of the guys who look for oil, they actually use like 30 volts or something like that, shoot down and comes back, they can read it. And there's one guy said that he looks for oil and he hasn't missed yet by low voltage, just by low voltage. So what happened is up in Alaska where the HAARP is, there's just the mountain range there, and they found enough oil on the one side of the mountain to run America for a year, which is, that's a lot of oil, right?
Oh yeah.
It's not being shipped down here. It's there. And it's used to run the HAARP engines or electrical, where they produce, it's a oil-based engine that produces electricity.
Isn't HAARP itself like a 30-acre, or is
more
it
more than that now?
Is it? Oh, probably true.
It's more than that now.
At least from last looking, said it was 30 acres square.
And you want to know something else? Is that it's just not that one place.
No.
They're throughout the world.
There's multitudes of these HAARPs.
Yes, there is.
Yep.
And so if they're set up just right, think about that. You could triangulate, set things. Oh, they're also known to change the weather.
Yep, that's another one.
And they said that basically if they could change the weather, that again, the reason they're concerned about HAARP, I got to say this, is that it's not proven theory that they've working with, that basically they're slowly going. And then it was mentioned that let's go ahead and run this as high as we can and shoot it to the sphere, which is our protection, electrical protection. I don't know if people know this, but the Earth has a protective electrical shield around it. It's the,
is it electromagnetosphere?
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry, that Star Trek's kicking in for me.
So, and what they wanted to do is like extend it, but at one time they wanted to bring it down, which is really
that's a really bad idea. That's a lot of cosmic radiation that would be irradiating the Earth and all of us that live on the Earth.
Basically, they said that some of the scientists is basically, yeah, we'd just be fried.
Start looking to move underground, guys.
With the lizard people.
Yep.
You and know the greys.
Because you know we're their primary food source. I'm telling you. I mean, watch V. You'll know understand what I'm talking about.
Well, we've done our conspiracy theories. We did not bring this up. But one of the conspiracy theories is that Tesla was not from this world.
I hadn't heard that one. Yes, that's a new one.
The Tesla was an alien, and like his family, it's all...
The name Tesla just says extraterrestrial all over it. It totally does.
Is that why Elon took over the company?
Probably. He wants to go back home.
By the way, he bought that for $30 million, just to let you know. He bought that, it was in 2002 or something like 2002. It was early. And so what he did, he bought the rights and everything else for that company for $30 million.
And look at it now.
Oh, look at the stock.
Stock's
outrageous.
Yeah. You want to make some money? Invest in Tesla.
And then,
or invest in something that Elon's doing. No, I know a lot
just
of people
not
have
X.
Problems. X was a joke. But I understand his reasoning behind it. But you know what? There are some things about what he's done with that I think is kind of cool. So I'm just going to leave it alone.
So let's look at him. This is the cool part. Let's look at Tesla versus Elon Musk.
Okay.
Elon Musk would be Edison.
Okay.
He's investing or Westinghouse, George Westinghouse. He's investing into all these things and getting the money out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's hired all these people to work for him. He's had some problems with people working for him because he cannot communicate with these people, which is, Twitter, which is X. Yeah, that was a big thing. A lot of people just left because they didn't know his vision or they didn't want to get paid. You know, they wanted to get paid. And there's some lot of things that happened.
There was some weird stuff going on with Twitter before he bought it out.
Right.
There were some things that they were doing that was just gouging people, for one thing. It was also the way Twitter was being used as a political pulpit. Again, that's another thing. I don't like talking about
it. It still is. So, yeah.
Political politics and religion are the two biggest no-nos that I will ever touch on, and I don't like talking about them. But because X now, or was Twitter, was being used as a political manipulating device, everybody was flocking to it. Yay, I got a blue check mark. You should totally go for it because I'm totally liberal, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, you guys have got it all wrong. It's the reason why Musk bought them out. Actually, the lawsuit that says you were going to buy us out, then you backed out of it, then we're going to take you to the court. So he bought them out anyway.
Yeah.
And he canned a bunch of those people. But if you take a look at the way that their setup was done for Twitter, these guys were only coming in and doing like maybe an hour's worth of work, and they'd sit in the lounge drinking drinks or be on their little exercise bikes or have some sort of little conference call with some of their personal friends, and then they would go home.
Yeah.
And Musk came in and said, you know what? Screw you guys. Do some work or get the F out.
Yeah.
And a lot of them got
left out. Yeah, they left. Yeah.
And now he's left with this other kind of setup. Now there's so many users still using X. You know,
there's everything on there. It's just
confusing. I have a setup for it too, but it's only to promote artwork. I don't use it for anything else. Why would I? Not that I've gotten any responses on it, but whatever. I don't understand memes. Memes drive me nuts. It's just, they're dumb.
Memes?
Memes.
Memes?
Yeah.
Memes.
Yeah, that right there.
Memes.
If you were a meep, I would eat you.
What would my meme be?
What would your meme be?
Oh my God. That's a good one. I'm mean. No, I don't know. That just really, yeah.
It memes mystify me. I don't get it, but that's just me.
I just had some really bad thought.
Please, go ahead.
My meme is Flesh Gordon's spaceship.
Oh my god. Oh, that's okay. That's a bit of a stretch, but get it? Stretch. Oh, Innuendo is going to come up now for sure.
Okay, people. That is the X-rated version of Flash Gordon.
Hilarious.
It was X-rated back then. It's like R now.
Probably now.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. But, and we'll talk later about that too, but it's a ripoff of Harryhausen. So
Paul's going to show me some stuff here after a while, and it's like, we'll talk about it a little bit later.
Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
We'll talk about it a little later. He's going to show me something. Stretch.
So let's go back to Nikolai.
Oh, yeah.
Or Nikola.
Nikola.
Actually, a lot of people say Nikolai.
It's Nikola.
Yeah, Nikola.
Oh, so to go back to that one picture that you were talking about, him sitting underneath that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've seen pictures of that, and I've also heard that it's a composite picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he didn't actually sit underneath it, but he was trying to prove a point that alternating electricity is safe.
It is, yeah.
And again, back at the turn of the century, we're talking 1900s, that was all about showmanship, and Nikola Tesla was a showman. He understood how to work the audience.
Right.
And that's the reason why he got on in popularity, which, unlike Edison, wasn't exactly what I would call a handsome man of anything else. But Nikola Tesla, on the other hand, was a good-looking dude back
younger.
In the day.
When he was in his
younger years.
Yeah. So here's a few things. Several movies, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The Secret of Nikola Tesla, Orson Welles as J.P. Morgan.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Okay. Nikola Tesla, the genius who lit the world, 1944 documentary by Tesla Memorial Society and the Nikola Tesla Museum in Belgrade, Serbia, which is Croatia, is Serbia now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And then the big one, The Prestige.
Oh, yeah. With David Bowie playing Nikola Tesla.
Yeah. That's supposed to be, I can't remember. I watched it one time. I don't remember much of it.
It's actually a really good movie. I mean, Christopher Nolan movies are usually pretty good. Previous to his working on Batman or Oppenheimer, which is a great movie in of itself. He does some really interesting concepts. The Inception movie was...
Oh, that's a great
movie. I love that movie.
Oh, God.
I think there's some oddities about it, the way it was written. Interstellar is one of my favorites, though I know a lot of people have a problem with that one. It's just like, what are you talking about?
With Jodie Foster?
No. Interstellar is with Matthew McConaughey, even though he is in Contact.
Oh, that's a long one. With Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a great movie based off of Kip Thorne's theoretical ideas.
It's the three-hour movie.
I can sit through a three-hour movie. I did yesterday.
Would you watch yesterday?
I went and saw the movie Furiosa.
Oh.
That Mad Max saga.
Was it good?
I liked it.
Okay.
It's a little different than some of the other Mad Max movies, but there's enough action going on, but it gives a good background to her character that showed up with Tom Hardy's version of Mad Max in Fury Road.
So I get to put Tesla into this. So you would not, the old movies, like when you used to sit and watch the projectors.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If it wasn't for him to improve the lights.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have had those projectors.
You know what? You're probably absolutely right.
Because Edison actually did some of those.
He was... Okay, so little known history, but Edison had a lot of inner workings with a lot of the early movie making systems at the time, probably for the talkies and everything. Tesla probably improved on a bunch of that stuff, as you will find out later on. And then, of course, we move everything from that in the 1920s, because that was one of the few things that people would go out and do, especially during the Great Depression, was one of the few places where you could go in, pay like a couple cents to pay for a ticket to watch a movie. It was amazing.
So now I just have to say one thing.
What?
Fuck you, Edison.
There's a big middle finger. I'm pointing it right at the microphone right now. Read between the lines, bitch. All right. Anyway. No, I used to, when I was a kid, the whole history was written that Edison was the father of everything. Yeah. Marconi was the inventor of radio. Okay. But as time goes on, you start digging around and you look and it's like they're telling you the whole truth because it's written from one person's perspective. Because they're trying to make money off of their books.
Those
people.
Those who win write the history books.
Yeah.
And Tesla was not a, I mean, he was a winner as inventing stuff, but as a person handling people and his finances, he was not. So he took so much advantage of him that he was, for a while, he was not even in the history books. I mean, he was just not around.
No.
But now that people have found out and things have been released, now they are. But
the biggest things that you will find in the history book is that they will still talk about alternating current. And they'll talk about the Tesla coil. Those are the two mainstays that have kept his name alive in the history books for the longest period of time. And you talk to a bunch of scientists, they're not ones to fall for the history book re-education situation. But they will tell you that if you really honestly take a look at it, this is the way the history really portrays itself. Edison co-opted a lot of ideas and called them his own. And then you have people like Tesla who come in who are actual true creators and independent thinkers, and yet they get shafted because they're too trusting of people.
Right. They are. They just don't. Yeah. Because I used to, I mean, it took me a while to be that way. I was learned that people, my dad didn't teach me. My dad taught me that everybody's an asshole. You should treat them that way. I'm like, I can't.
I didn't hang around enough with my dad. I was inside working, reading my comic books and drawing stories.
Well, I was reading my comic books too. I was up in the top of the garage where I had a stack, probably about, it had to be a 3-foot stack of comic books.
Oh yeah.
And I was just going through them and stuff, and then, you know, he was like, rawr, 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 what are you doing?
I'd spend my allowance. I would get these black and white magazines and stuff, and Planet of the Apes. Love it. I actually had to go rebuy them again just because as a kid, they were fantastic stories, but I reread these magazines so many times I tore the covers off and stuff like that as a kid. I went and rebought them again as an adult. They're in plastic bags right now. But when I go back and reread them again,
it's
an amazing, it feels like, all right, I'm back in that time frame again.
I'm a little kid again. Yeah. Look at this.
Oh man. Yeah. I need to go grab my Junior Mints and some Dr. Pepper and I'm good to go.
Dr. Pepper. Oh my God, what a mixture.
Oh, it was a blast. Such a blast.
Oh, one of the things I did not mention with Tesla is that when he died, he had two rooms that he was supposedly renting out.
Okay.
One had all his papers in, he had papers in the other ones. He had chests full of his stuff that he was writing down in his old papers, his inventions and everything. And when he died, that's when the FBI came in and the government, actually it was the government, took it all.
Okay, so here's a story that I heard earlier today. So it wasn't just the FBI that came in and collected the stuff on the death ray, but it was also that Tesla also had a nephew from Serbia.
Right.
That came in with a bunch of his buddies. And once they found out that his uncle had passed away, they came in and stole a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you're correct, because it's in the Serbia. There's actually or Belgrade.
Yeah.
That there's a museum
mm-hmm.
to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically.
I'd like to go, but oh my God.
Yeah, geez, wouldn't that be crazy to go see that?
Not right now.
Yeah. I'll pass on that one.
But I guess all the stuff the government wanted, took it. They took what they had. They could.
So. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like you're giving a pitch for a death ray. I mean, the first thing I think of death ray is like War of the Worlds from 1952. And you got that Well, you see the sparking thing shooting out of the Martian war machine? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking when I hear Death Ray.
Yeah.
And it turns people green and you see the skeleton and then they disappear.
Well, if now, in, like I said, in HARP now, they said they can concentrate to one beam. Okay. So if they can concentrate to one beam, which we talked about in Russia, they probably bounced it off and whatever.
And if Paul is correct, and I have seen that there are other setups like the one that's up in Alaska, over the world, Pine Gap would be another place. You know where that's at?
Mm-hmm.
In Australia. It's an Australian combination thing.
It's one in Europe.
Oh, is there?
There's one in Europe.
Oh. Yeah. All right, so we're going to triangulate, and we're going to zap somebody. Maybe some of these guys should take their little HARP things, set it up and take out. We'll take out the Putin and just zap him.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know what happened. He turned into a crispy critter.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and then his clone would come out.
Oh, lizard clone.
Lizard clone. Maybe that's why we're doing that. Maybe we're here to get ready for the lizard invasion.
Oh man, I don't want to be chicken for a lizard sitting there chewing
chicken
on me.
Chicken lizard.
I'm gonna pass on that one. Okay, so we have quite a bit more to go on. We've been jumping all over the place on this one today, but I think there's a lot more to dig into. Yeah,
this is only part one.
Yeah,
we'll be back. Now we're gonna say bye. This is Paulie.
This is Al.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.